after your chorus. You can start.
Great. Thank you, everybody. Welcome to the, what is this, sixth call, I think, in total? Thank you, everybody, for being here. Hope everybody, those who had a holiday recently, had a good one. And thanks, Elise and Tryon Company, for getting us out the all of the documents and the BTI report. Much appreciated.
Our pleasure.
Or something, at least, right?
I think that's the normal response, isn't it? Our pleasure.
Yeah, right. Okay. As if we can just, am I controlling this presentation or somebody else? Somebody else. Once we get to the agenda, I think we'll see that there is.
I've got the agenda there.
Yeah, there it is. Thank you. There is quite a bit on the agenda. From the report itself to thinking and thoughts about the Copenhagen meeting and beyond. So let's just jump right into it, unless anybody has any additions or comments specific to the agenda itself. So not seeing or hearing any, let's just, we'll just dive right in. I'm just going to add something that is at the end of the agenda, and that's a brief discussion around the PTI budget, which is not particularly under the remit of the CSC itself, but I think it's worth just having a very, very brief conversation for awareness, if nothing else. So we'll tack that onto the AOB at the end of it. In terms of the November report, I guess I would just ask to begin with, have any of us as the members, have any of us received any feedback or comments from our communities or elsewhere? I mean, I'll start with, I haven't. So it all went out there and I, as the expression goes, it was nothing but crickets from my perspective. Did anybody hear anything or receive any feedback? Elaine? Go ahead.
Hey, Byron. We did get a couple of questions from the GNSO chair, Paul. I'm sorry, RYSU chair. He asked that we possibly provide a little more color to the explanation where there has not been a 100% in meeting the SLAs, and he also asked for a walkthrough of a report on one of the RYSU meetings just so that the membership can have an understanding of what's being measured and how we're reporting on the SLAs.
Okay. That's good feedback, thanks. And I think the latter, or the second part to that question in terms of an explanation, I think hopefully we can satisfy in Copenhagen. And why don't we'll park that for now, and we'll come back to it in the discussion of what we're going to try to do at Copenhagen. But I mean, I think that will definitely be part of it. And as far as the feedback on more color to the explanations about any particular metrics that are not at 100% or the excellent threshold, we'll have that in a moment. Any other feedback? No? Okay. Seeing or hearing none, then just item B, still in agenda item 2, but item B, in terms of distribution, we had asked to add some folks and some constituencies, communities last time. Bart, could you just update us now on who actually is included on the distribution list?
Distribution list, this is Bart, is the SOAC chairs together with the, we've copied in the CSC membership at the request of Elise. In order to ensure that the members and the liaisons know, the groups are informed, the registry stakeholder group is informed, the registrars and GTLD registries, and the CCTLD community, say through the CCTLD world list, community list, and the council list. That's it. And we have, and that's part of the say of the update, and it's more for, say, for discussion now and for the next time. We've been working on the subscribe list as requested, and that's ready to go. That's it, Byron.
Okay. In our website, or on our website somewhere, what do you think? Just toss this out to the whole group. I think it would be worthwhile to have the actual distribution list identified so we can see who's on it. And then on the whenever the occasion arises that we think there should be someone else on it, we can see actually who's on it, if there's a gap, and how to get added. And then, of course, any of the community members can see if their community is on it or not, and make sure that if, in fact, their community is on it and they're not receiving it, that they know where to go to get added to a list. So as a takeaway, unless there's a belief we shouldn't do that, I would suggest that we add that. Jay, your hand's up. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree, Byron. The other thing is to consider whether or not we should allow people to sign up to receive it through some sort of web form or something, and allow people to self-select whether they get it. We don't need to publish those people's lists on their names on the website, just the ones that we formally send it to. But rather than us having to maintain that list ourselves, we can let people do it themselves a bit.
Right. That's a good idea. Can we get that as a takeaway and action item in terms of can we get some kind of web form or self-service sign-up for individuals to receive the report? And that would be the CSC report, as distinct from the PTI report itself. And if we could get some self-serve sign-up form, that could we get an understanding of what that would take and how soon we could get that done? But then in addition to that, in terms of community groups or things that would not have any sort of privacy expectation or overlay, if we could have that published on our website, what communities are receiving this from a push perspective. Thanks. Bart, your hand is up.
Yeah, it's my understanding, unless I've been really mistaken, what Lars Johan suggested on the last call, that's the purpose of this whole, say, subscription list. Let's say it will be published, or it is already published on the CSC website, so you send an email to the secretariat and you receive the CSC list, so it's self-subscribing. To avoid spamming, etc., it's the only touch we want to say it's easier that we subscribe. But that was my understanding of the whole self-subscription list, of the subscription list from last Johan, for ours.
Okay, thank you, Bart. Then if that is up and running already, then I will admit you are a step ahead of me on that already. I didn't think that was up and running.
To be clear, it's not up and running. It's we introduce it right now. It's ready to go. So we haven't done it in the sense of passing. Say we want to introduce it first through you, whether this to check whether this is the idea, but and you had in mind, and then make it operational. So it's not operational yet, but that's on it's on the brink of becoming operational.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Thanks. So, so you're confident that something to that effect will be up and running within the shortly within the next month? Is that a?
Yeah. When we hit the point under the action item, let's ask Maria. Otherwise, we take up too much time around this.
Okay.
It's part of.
Okay, well then let's move on to agenda item number 3, which is a review of the performance report for December. It certainly would seem that PTI continues to deliver basically what we expect from what I can see and from what I've read. At the 99.4 percentile level overall, that it would continue to be awarded the satisfactory ranking. But having said that, are there any members or liaisons that have any comments or questions before we turn it over to to PTI on the specifics of the variances? Any comments or questions before we head there? Okay, seeing or hearing none, then I would ask either Elise or Trang, whoever's going to take it over from this point, to just...
So this is Elise.
Elise, okay, walk us through the report, particularly in the context of SLEs that were missed and where we stand on them.
Right. So the two deviations from the SLEs were all in the technical check area, and they had two different reasons this time. However, I think they both fell under the discussions we've had on the previous CSC reports on the SLEs. And the first one was for the technical checks the first time round, and this had to do with the fact that the technical checks are done in a sequential fashion and not in a parallel fashion. So we had 16 routine technical checks that exceeded the threshold because they were queued in order of each other. And none of the individual checks of those 16 missed the SLA. However, because they were queued and it started from the time we sent them to the time they actually finished, the entire suite exceeded that SLA. And I know that we've discussed this on the calls before. This is a development effort, and our development team is looking at this to see how this can be revised. It is a substantial rewrite of the way the technical checks are done. And we are evaluating that at this point in time. So I'll stop here because that's the first exception to meeting the SLA.
Thank you. Thank you, Elise. Are there any questions for Elise on this or comments? I guess I would have one question to start with, and that is, how long do you expect the scoping exercise to take before you would understand what is required to make this change? So just
so,
in terms of when do you know what it takes?
Right. There are a couple other smaller things I know that the CSC has requested. So we're trying to look at them as a whole to see which of the current development activities we might deprioritize in order to do this. And so I would expect to have a report either at the February meeting or the March meeting.
Okay. Okay, thank you. And we have a question in the queue. Lars, go ahead.
Thanks. I keep wondering, and I'm honestly not sure about what I think here, but I keep wondering whether it would be better to measure the execution time of this item rather than the queued plus execution time. At least as a temporary measure until we until PTI has fixed the software to do it in a more parallel fashion. I do understand that runs the risk of things being put in the queue for a long time and we won't notice it. But I don't really know. I would really like to make it apparent in this report that the execution time is very much different from the queue plus execution time that we see here. But I don't know how to do that as a quick fix, and maybe it's not worth the effort because it's going to be fixed shortly. Thanks.
Thank you. Good question. Jay, please go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, just following up on what Lehman said, I think it would be nice if the narrative included the average execution time, so that we could just see what that was. That seems the simplest solution there.
Okay, sorry, these are both excellent suggestions. I can go back and see what we can do that, because in order to get this data for you, we go in and we look at each individual ticket individually and do those measures. So I don't know, Byron, you wanted to say something else?
Yeah, maybe just for me, Jay faded out there the last. I was just wondering if he could restate what he said, because we lost him briefly.
Sorry, I was just suggesting that rather than changing the measure yet, we include the average execution time inside the narrative related to those two elements.
Okay, thanks, Jay. And listening to that, I think they're both good points. Maybe that's where Elise is going. I wonder if we could do just exactly that, and it sounds, based on what I just heard Elise said, like we could do that, that while the metric in the report will remain reporting the way it is right now, and thus would likely show a failure to meet the metric, the narrative could include the actual average time of each request, the resolution of request, and until we know what's required for a rewrite, that might be a satisfactory kludge until we have better information to make any kind of further decision.
So I will take the action to follow up and get back to you, and I'm sure we can revise the narrative, but just to also look into the other option that Lehman mentioned.
Okay.
Elise, this is Bart. When do you think that could be done so I can include this? For which, February, March, or?
So I think if we're just going to do the narrative, I can get back to you probably the week before the report's due to the CSC. So that would be the report's due to the CSC on the 12th of the month. So by the 6th of February, we should know that we can go and look in detail into those tickets and make sure we have that data to give you the average. And then for the other, the temporary measure, that'll be part of the other conversation where we look and see what changes we do need to make to the overall measurements to see whether that Lehman's recommendation would be something we might do as a temporary thing. So that would be either February or March that I'd let you know.
Thank you, Elise.
You're welcome, Bart.
Okay, thanks. So we'll take that as an action item. Lehman, your hand is up. Is that the old hand, or do you have another question or comment? No? Okay, thank you.
Okay, Byron, would you like me to go with the second deviation?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the second issue that we ran into was the technical check retest. And this is one that we've discussed before and that the committee has said that there would be, that the committee plans to request or find a way to raise the SLA from 3 minutes to 10 minutes. However, in this one, we even exceeded the 10 minutes, and this is because the technical check was repeatedly tested and till the customer withdrew its request because it had made a mistake. The customer had made a mistake in what it had submitted. So we had been running the tests on an incorrect name server information, which was submitted by the customer. It continually failed. And when the customer corrected the information, then the test passed. So this was a failure that exceeded the 3 minute time because of incorrect information submitted on the original submission.
Okay, thanks. Jay, your hand's up, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, Elise, is it effectively that it could not contact these things and so kept on attempting to contact them rather than kept on attempting to do the tests, and if so, should there be some sort of timeout so that you're at which point it just says, no, I can't reach these, so I can't perform the tests in order to protect your SLA here?
Yes, that's somewhat how it happened. I would have to, you know, check and make sure that's exactly what happened, but yes, we did contact the customer also, letting them know that we had this extended period where the checks weren't, you know, completing. But yes, that's fundamentally what happened. It kept repeating over and over with a slight time between each test. Did I answer your question, Jay?
Yeah, Jay,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, you did, yeah. Thank you. Yes, you answered it, Elise. I'm just wondering what change will you implement, or would you like us to recommend to prevent you being hit by that again? Because ultimately, I don't think this is a PTI problem. This is a customer problem, so it shouldn't be affecting your metrics.
Right. Well, in fact, that was one of the things I asked when we looked into this. I said, oh, no, the 33 minutes, is that actually our testing time, or is that the time we were waiting for the customer to get back to us and tell us that, you know, that this was a faulty name server information? And they said, no, actually, it was our actual testing time. We had gotten back to the customer, so we weren't waiting on the customer, and we kept retrying after we contacted them. So I'm not sure how to prompt the customer to be more or more quickly respond to something like this, but I'm open to suggestions.
Sorry, but it sounds as though that's not the issue. It's not the customer responding. It sounds as though the issue is your system repeatedly testing something that's not going to work, and that counting as a test and almost needing a manual stop in order to then say, right, no, it needs to go back to the customer. My suggestion would be that there should be a timeout of it attempting this in a couple of minutes, and if it can't contact those things within a couple of minutes, then that ceases to become your problem and becomes, you know, you then pass the ball over to the customer and the stop what stops at that point.
So I think that's a great suggestion. I will take it back to the team. One of my concerns, or that I've heard in the past, is that sometimes what we get from customers when we try the test and say it doesn't work, a technical test, they'll say, oh, we're having this sequencing time, and so we just want you to time it, try it again. And in that case, we couldn't time out. But potentially, if we don't hear that back from the customer when we notify them, perhaps we could then have a timeout after two or three tries that we would time out. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I suck it to see, really. I mean, yeah, definitely a timeout after 2 or something, I'd have thought. Something like that's fine. Whatever you're happy with, really.
Yeah, so I'll take your suggestion back and see, you know, if we could propose that. But I think that also brings us back to one of the original questions about the technical check SLA of 3 minutes, which is to be raised. You know, you all have recommended raising it to 10 minutes. Is what is the process for us to officially make the, us being TTI, to make these changes in the way we measure and report? Because right now, you know, these are part of the contractual agreement and are written into the finalized CWG's SLA agreement. And so I'm hoping that the CSC is going to be looking at how we can contractually revise these.
Yeah, and Elise, we will be, as part of our mandate, after 1 year, we will be making a set of recommendations. So certainly, at the very least, upon that review, this is exactly the type of thing that we would be considering, and based on discussions we've had so far, probably making a recommendation. So that is the mechanism, as I understand it right now, as articulated in the various documents. So definitely it will happen, but right now the process for us is at the 1 year mark when we reflect on and make any recommendations for changes and improvements after 12 months of reports. Lehman, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yes, I just want to make the note that to perform a test is one thing. It doesn't have to succeed. It only has to conclude. So performing a test and arriving at the conclusion that, no, it didn't work, is fine. So I definitely support the timeout thing. Thanks.
Thanks, Simon.
Yeah, a good observation. Thank you. Jay, go ahead.
Yeah. Elise, in relation to your last point there, I don't think anything we're talking about here actually relates to the contractual side of things. This is about that there's a general principle in there about when you stop the clock and when you don't stop the clock. And as Lehman says, it's about when things are determined to have failed and not determined to have failed. And I think that's all details that can all be, it's all within your remit to adjust as you see fit, and just to, you know, check by with us to make sure we're happy with them. But I don't think any of that requires any contractual change. The contractual change is going to be the 10-minute one, but what we're talking about is, you know, in this particular case, is entirely separate, I think, to that.
I appreciate you clarifying that for me, and I will take that back and discuss it with the team and see if there's a better way for us to perform the test and measure that it's concluded versus continuing to perform until we have success. Appreciate the feedback. Byron, I don't think there's anything more for me to report on the report unless people have specific questions.
Is Byron still there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry, I was on mute there for a second. I have one more minor comment, and that's just in the discussion around this technical check that's in the report, and it's just in the final sentence. I think we might add as an edit, the CSC has recommended that the 3-minute threshold for this category be revised. I think we should just add a word there that says the CSC has previously recommended that the 3-minute threshold has for this category has been revised, just to let it be known that we recognize this, we've seen it, we've already made this recommendation, and we continue to support that. So So just one minor word, but signals something in there.
Okay, great. I'll take the action to add previously.
Okay, thanks. Any final comments? No? Okay, seeing or hearing none. We'll move on. And can I just ask that I think it would be Trang. Could you draft the report that reflects the discussion that we've had?
Hi, Byron. This is Trang. Yes, absolutely. The one question that I do have is with regards to the listing under the satisfactory rating. In previous months, what we had done was that there is a predetermined language that is used for the satisfactory rating that basically says PTI meets or met the service level agreement for X percentage of time of defined metrics, and it missed service level agreements that were satisfactorily explained, and the CSC has determined that these exceptions were no cause for concern and no persistent problems were identified and no further action is needed. And then below that, there's usually a listing of the items where the SLAs were missed. I wonder if based on Elaine's comments and the RYSG's request, whether or not you want to expand a little bit on the text listing the SLAs that were missed. Like previously, we only have the listing of it. For example, it would just say technical check queuing or technical check retest and no other information.
So so are you asking to have the analysis and comments in there as well, or expand upon the analysis and comments?
Asking if we would want to expand on the list of items that the CSC found, although were missed SLAs, were no cause for concern, or if we should just simply list them.
So,
Byron, this is Byron.
Yeah, maybe just 1 second. Maybe I'm being dense here, but just to be clear, the analysis and comments actually has text that articulates some of the issues. Do you want to expand upon that?
Right. So Rhea has just projected the report from last month here, and as you can see, the report lists just A and B, technical checks and manual lodgements, as the areas where there were missed SLAs. And my question is that based on Elaine's feedback from the RYSG, whether or not you want to provide some additional color around the missed SLAs.
So my answer to that would be yes. But we also have a couple of hands up. So first Jay and then Elaine. Jay, go ahead.
My answer is yes as well. So I think we just use some very brief words there, and perhaps a paragraph or explanation would be better, explaining that in a bit more, and also talking about our anticipated time for resolution on this, in that it would be annually there would be a renegotiation of them, and we'd be recommending that this is included as part of that annual renegotiation, or something along those lines. I'm sorry, not to be precise, Trang, but I'm sure you know what I mean.
Okay.
Thank you, Elaine.
Thanks. So, yeah, I did raise this as an issue, and I think if we simply put a sentence, you know, for more information, see page X of the report, that would be helpful. And I would be wary of adding too much text to something that's supposed to be a short summary, a quick read-through. I do like the idea of having a timeline for resolution.
Okay, thank you. So I think what we've heard, at least from the three who've chimed in here, that short and pithy description of what we've discussed would be welcomed. I think we also have to remember that as we move forward to any changes we may make, such as going from 3 to 10 minutes, in the process that's articulated for us in all the various documents, it is likely we won't be the only ones who have input on this. So I don't think we should make any kind of firm commitments that we will make it 10 minutes, just recognizing that, you know, at the year review point, we will be taking other feedback. So it's not 100% just our decision at this point. Jay, I see your hand is up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, sorry, just to clarify my points. I think that in the CSC report, we need to be explaining to people why we are going to recommend a change, which in this case is because we think the initial chosen values were too tight, and that the new values better reflect the historical trend. We need to talk about what we think is the customer impact from us recommending that change, and then when we anticipate our recommendation being formally discussed or formally considered. That to me seems to be the CSC elements that have to be put into the report to add some more colour to it. And then Elaine says, the technical details, there's no need for us to reproduce those. They can be referred to in the PTI report.
Right, thank you. And that was more eloquently said. That's what I was trying to get at, but I think Jay's actually captured what I was trying to get at. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you. This is Trang.
Trang, does that provide the guidance that you're looking for? Have we been clear enough for you on that?
Yes, Byron, I believe so. So what I'm going to be doing is below the A and B listing, which will be changed, obviously, from technical checks and manual lodgement to reflect this month's report, which are technical checks, queuing, and technical checks. Below that, I'll add a sentence that refer people back to the explanations provided in the PTI report, as well as maybe a sentence or two that discusses the expected timing that the CSC discussed earlier on this call. So those will be the changes that I'll be making. Does that sound right?
Yes, that sounds right to me.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, with that, we'll move on to agenda item number 4, and that's updates from the last meeting. And if we could just flip back to that quickly. Thank you. You'll have seen, to try to make it easy to follow, the key outcomes have been highlighted. We'll just run through this quickly. You can see action item 1 has been completed, and we've already had some discussion on that. But it is ongoing, as we have heard. I don't think we need any more discussion on that. Item number 2 is the announce list. That's ongoing. Bart, did you want to add anything more there?
Not really. Maybe Maria, you want to add anything because you've been organizing this?
Maria, if you're talking, you're on mute. Or perhaps you don't want to add anything? Okay, well, you can go back.
Yeah. Is that you, Maria? Otherwise, we just launch it, Byron. If it doesn't meet your expectations, then you can always change it.
Then we'll regroup. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Moving on to 3. I know there was some dialogue there. I assume that was taken care of. Jay, anything there?
I hope so, because I don't remember what it was.
Okay, perfect. We got that one nailed then. On to number 4.
Jay, thank you for taking care of our action item.
honestly, on to item number 4. I think that one was pretty straight up. There was some discussion there. Let's just not make this ICANN-centric, so the time zone is PST.
Hi, I'm sorry. My phone dropped.
Okay, PST. Okay, we'll come back to you. Actually, we've covered off item number two, so we're okay on that. We'll stick with item number four. We'll just make sure it's PST-centric as opposed to LA-centric, which doesn't mean much from a time zone perspective to most people in the world. And I know Elise and I discussed that by email, so I'm going to assume that's okay.
Yep.
Action item five. Elise?
So I think this was part of the bigger picture of looking at changes that the CSC is asked for in the report and the way we measure things. And it takes more, it's not a spot thing where we can get back with just changing, you know, individual things. They have larger repercussions. So I'd like to bundle that as a report when we get back of how we're going to be making the number of changes that have been requested and how we might be able to roll that out. Because I think there was also, Byron, you had one where you want us to be able to have a little scroll bar or something that will identify definitions for things so people have better information in the report itself. And there are a couple other small changes that have been requested. So I'd mentioned earlier about this one measurement change. We've talked about the execution of the technical checks and coming back to you either in February or March with a proposal. So if we could just bundle all of these together, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. That's fine with me. Unless there's any concerns about that, we will defer that. We'll keep it on the action item register, but we'll defer it.
Yeah, perhaps it would help if we would list all the little, not little, they're not little, the changes that we're considering to the tool and the way we report on the tool and bundle those in so they're not just one-offs because they may come in and be delivered at different times, that they'll be part of a plan.
Okay. So that probably begs the question then, I'm going to direct this towards Bar in terms of there's the action items as we talk about them here on the agenda, but then there's going to be an action register of some sort where we continue to aggregate the
items. Byron, if you look at it, say, what we've done is, what we want to do is use this format and then keep coming back, say, with those who've completed, they will fall off, and we'll keep the ones who are still open in a kind of repository. And the next step is that this will be become online as well in a kind of wiki space environment. I think the CSC website is not the most appropriate, but something like a wiki space, so everybody can check it, so it's open and public, but it's more a working repository for this one and for open action items, etc.
Okay. Thank you. That's fine. Action item number seven is the report, which is, it's gone out. Action item number eight we'll discuss in the following agenda item. Number nine, we will discuss actually in the ensuing agenda item as well. Same with 10 and 11. Are there, before we move on to agenda item number five, I know I went through those last few pretty rapidly, but a number of them are coming up. Any comments, concerns, or questions about anything that was in item number four, agenda item number four? All right, seeing or hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item number five. I do want to respect the time that we have on this meeting, so we have another 15 minutes or so, just shy of that, and a fair amount of content to get through. So with that said, in agenda item number 5, 5A is around an update on operating procedures. Bart, could you provide an update for us on this item?
Yes, it's I've shared a first draft with Alan, although he's not part of it. Say he has an understanding being part of, say, DTC at the time around operating procedures, and I was involved in the calls, et cetera, and assist you. So I have a first draft ready, just waiting for preliminary feedback, and then I can share it, say, a first set of internal procedures with the group in this week. So that's where we're
okay. So thanks. I'll look forward to seeing that. And then I think that's something that we should where we can discuss the draft at our next meeting. Okay, then we'll move on to B, which is the survey itself. That's been put out to the list, and there was some discussion around the fact that the person responsible for it is not actually able to be on the call with us today.
So, Byron, this is Elise. Marilia has interrupted her day off to join us for the call. So if there are any questions, Marilia Hirano is our manager for continuous improvement within PTI, and she has led the customer satisfaction survey for our team for the last 3 years. And so I know that Jay sent a question, or not a question, a comment about one thing that they do in New Zealand with their customer surveys. So I don't know if Marilia's had a chance to see it, but Marilia is here on the call, so we're happy to address any questions that anyone might have.
Okay, well, I appreciate Marilia's here today. It is unexpected, though appreciated. So I think it's also safe to say that probably a number of us, because this is a surprise, have not taken the full amount of time required to properly digest this document and have questions for her. And in part, what we want to do is make sure that we can offer whatever help we can here and have a discussion about that, because one of the things that Elise has said is that you know, response rates to the actual customer service survey are not where we would hope they would be, which probably leads to my first question. Jay, I see you have your hand up, but let me just open with the first question, and that is around the number of respondents. You say this is put out to 4,000 customers, but there's only about 10% who respond. At least that was the 2016 number, and it was 8% for 2015. My first question is 4,000 customers. So when I, you know, obviously my mind goes to CC registries and G registries. Clearly we don't add up to anywhere near that number. Who are the 4,000 customers? Would be my first question. And then I see Jay and then Elise have their hands up. But just first off, can you just give me a quick overview of who the 4,000 customers are?
So I'll just say something quickly, and then I'll ask Marilia to chime in. So we have many, many protocol parameter customers that do a transaction maybe just once a year. But however, we have many more transactions with the IETF protocol parameter community than we do have with the domain name community per year. And so most of those, I believe, are in the protocol parameters area. But Marilia, do you want to chime in and comment on that?
No, you're correct. The majority of the customers are in the protocol parameter community, yes. And then other customers are the RARs, the .int applicants, the GTLD and CCTLD managers, and as well as the customers who requested any type of change to their domains in the period that was being surveyed.
Okay. Thank you. Jay, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Thanks, Byron. So I have had a chance to read this in some depth, and I wanted to start off by congratulating you. I think it's a fantastic result, and I wonder how the rest of the CSE feels about us noting what a fantastic result that is formally in our minutes or something. Great. Okay, so the second thing, most of the comments I have on it I'll send individually to Elise because they're just detailed things. But the one thing that I perhaps think is worthwhile raising here, we incentivize our surveys, a gift card to goes out to people. Sometimes we've done bigger incentivization, and we find that incentivization really does drive up the number of people who respond significantly. And it doesn't have to be a particularly large incentivization to do that either. But it's very important for us in terms of driving a number of responses.
Well, thanks, Jay. That's an interesting idea for us to consider. I think in the past we've been prohibited from doing that because of NTIA's contract where we weren't able to do certain types of things of that nature, but we can certainly potentially look into it now. And the reason my hand was up, I don't know if it's my turn, Byron?
Yes, go ahead.
Was because the group that we're actually seeing no responses from, and that's what we meant when we get low responses, because I think in survey land, 10% is not considered awful, but we get zero response from the CCTLD community. And this is the second year running where we've had zero responses from them, and so we are really looking for ideas on how to incent those, and I don't know to respond, and maybe Jay's suggestion is to offer incentives to that community alone or to all the communities. So it's primarily one community that we get very, very low turnout from.
Okay, well,
Aurelia, do you want to add to that?
No, I think, yeah, that's, and it's not only this year. I believe the CCTLD community has only responded to 1 year of the survey, and this is the fifth year. They've only participated once. So we don't really have a trend on their satisfaction. We can't really trend it because of that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I note that only 2014 shows a response from CCTLDs, and that goes back to, you know, an initial note I sent to Elise, which basically said, you know, if there's anything that the communities can do, and when I say communities, I was making a broad blanket statement, to actually help with this, since participation was an identified challenge, that this group, the CSC, may be able to offer some support in ensuring that there's participation or broader, more fulsome participation in the actual survey to socialize it and promote participation in the coming years. Because I think certainly there's a lot of interesting information for those who have had the opportunity to read it in any level of depth. But I would also be interested in seeing you know, definitely some of the segmentation by community as well. Because when we look, you know, if I look at some of the items like around CC operators in particular, being one that's, being that that's the community that I'm a little closer to, definitely some of the numbers, you have a law of small numbers is definitely in effect here, so it's a bit of a challenge. Anyway, given we weren't expecting to have you, Marilia, on this call, are there any other initial comments or questions on the customer survey?
Byron, this is Elise again.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I do notice that in the chat, Elaine asked whether when the surveys are released and, you know, if we maybe the CCNSO could ask attendees to answer the survey. I just wanted to respond to her that at each of the ICANN meetings, typically the survey has been released right around one of them, and we have announced during the CCTLD meeting and at the CCNSO that the survey was out there, and I think, Byron, that's where at one time you said, well, maybe we could help you get responses. So, yes, we do advertise that the survey is out there at our engagement with the CCTLDs in their meetings, whether it be a regional TLD meeting or the CCNSO meeting at the ICANN meeting, just to respond to Elaine.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me mute myself.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments at this point on the survey? That's something that the CSC is going to have to further consider at the following meeting when we can more fulsomely put it on the agenda.
And Byron, I do want to misunderstand, apologize for the misunderstanding, because I only had sent that request to take it off the agenda to you privately, not to the broader group. And when you declined, Marilia graciously agreed to be on the call.
Right, which is why I suggested we just have a very cursory preliminary discussion, as opposed to a detailed one. So that said, let's move on to 5C around complaints, and I know we are getting very close to the top of the hour. So we'll move on to 5C, so, regarding the complaints and an escalation process for unresolved items. This is something we're most definitely going to have to drill down on, and given the time we have available to us, that will not be today. However, I do have a couple of initial comments, and I would look to any others to make comment or query. Part of what we're going to have to do here is outline the process that happens right now, and I know there is a single page on the PTI website which articulates the basic process. We should all be familiar with that, but I would also ask Elise if there's anything further that we should know, given that what's on that web page is relatively limited, although certainly provides the opportunity for people to complain. But then also just understand, you know, is there a ticketing system? Is it auditable? And also even just what the history is here, because I'm unclear on what that would look like, so I think for the CSC to have any meaningful discourse on this, and thank you for those of you on Adobe Connect, you can see the IANA webpage that talks about the complaint process and the resolution process. So there is most definitely something there, but also for us to understand how you log and track and resolve, what is the process there? Is there a ticketing system? Is it auditable, or is it just highly manual? And then also getting a sense of what is the magnitude or not of the issue. I mean, you get 3 complaints a year or 30 complaints a year. So getting an understanding of what that looks like over the last 24 or 36 months of 24, 36 months, and also whether issues remain outstanding or whether they're all, quickly resolved, what that looks like. So that's the kind of information I think that we're going to need to get an understanding of. And Elise, before I go to you, maybe I'll ask any of the other members, Elaine, Cal, Jay, if you have any comments or suggestions at this moment, recognizing that we're not going to delve into the details here, but we just want to set this conversation up for the next meeting. And no is an okay comment, and if I don't see any hands up or nothing in the chat right now, then Elise, go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Byron. So I was just typing also so that it was on the record. The website page that you're looking at is what's posted on, obviously, the IANA.org website. And this reflects the CWG's proposal and Annex I that was written and defined what the process should be for handling complaints and escalations. So the escalation process and procedures do have flowcharts all drawn out, and they are included in the CWG's proposal. They had been drafted and written in collaboration with us from ICANN. And we basically have implemented that process. We do have a trouble ticketing system so that if a complaint is registered through the process that was defined by the CWG and is reflected on this page, we can track them. We don't have any formal complaints registered at this point in time through the escalation process or the process that's described here. So I'll be happy to discuss this further in our next call. And I do want to point everyone to Annex I from the CWG proposal, because that goes into much more detail than this simple web site.
Okay, thanks, Elise. And absolutely, the CWG was somewhat prescriptive, but I think the CWG also indicated that the CSC should have a hand in it, reflect on it, and if not approve it, certainly provide meaningful feedback on it. So I think there's an opportunity for us to continue to do that.
I think that's true, Byron, and I also think it's true that the CWG suggested that the CSC should look into a remediation process and should consider start defining that with PTI. If,
right.
You know, because what was defined in the CWG was an escalation process, but there was no remediation process defined.
Right.
I think Trang might chime in on that because she's far more familiar with that than I am.
So I'm going to ask Trang to not chime in on that right now, and we'll definitely give her an opportunity at the next meeting. And that was really the point of adding this to the agenda, is just to try to get a basic understanding of what is there now and what actually is there now, because we know translation from CWG to actual to CSC being able to participate and comment are all no doubt closely related, but I'm sure has some variation. So I want to make sure that we have the information available to us that we can provide and add any meaningful comment and value to PTI, because of course having the CSC provide that kind of feedback and quite frankly potentially some cover should things go sideways or there be any kind of an issue, I think is of value to PTI. So we're going to have to defer further detailed discussion on that to the next meeting, because we do need to talk about Copenhagen, and I recognize that I'm keeping you here a little bit late, so apologies for that. But as we move into the Copenhagen meeting, I think there's a couple of things on the agenda of particular importance, and that is organizing both a public and a substantive meeting for us, which I know is slotted for Monday, March 13th. That's been scheduled. My suggestion is of a 90-minute meeting, so we make the first 30 minutes a public meeting where we talk a little bit more about what we've done and the process and where we're headed, and provide information and education and the opportunity for interaction. And then the last 60 minutes or the following 60 minutes be more the substantive discussion where we continue to work on the things that we've had to defer, among others. That said, recognizing that our meeting, it would be on March 13th, it will be, I think, critical that we have the PTI report in hand, the February PTI report in hand, and have had it some days in advance so that we can actually read it and consider it effectively on the 13th. And I know that's pushing PTI a little bit by a few days, but I think we would be remiss if we didn't have a meaningful face-to-face meeting on March 13th. So, Elise, I'm trusting that you'll be able to pull that off on our behalf with sufficient advance notice.
We will certainly work to try and make that happen. That
okay.
may be a little difficult, but we'll serve. We're here to serve.
And I have the utmost faith in your ability, so I'm sure we'll be able to pull it off. And then since we have basic agreement there, I'm going to ask Bart to at least start to sketch out the framework of a background presentation that CSC could use for the public component of our meeting, recognizing we have some time ahead of us. But I think a framework that then we can all take a look at and be satisfied that we'll be delivering to the broader, not as intimately informed ICANN community at the Copenhagen meeting. I think that'll be very helpful. So Bart, as an action item, can you get started on a framework of that presentation?
I've already typed it.
Thank you. Following on there, other meetings, and I know Elaine has already alluded to this, and that's around the RYSG and other, and GNSO and other communities wanting to understand what we're up to and where we're at. I think particularly the communities around the GCTLDs and CCTLDs will be important, but there will be others. I know the CCNSO has already asked Jay and myself to provide some sort of a presentation. That's March 14th at 1:45 p.m. Everybody on this call is welcome to attend, but and you're invited to attend. However, Jay and I, being the members from that community, will do that presentation. I might ask Cal and Elaine to do the same for the GNSO or the RYSG, if that's okay. And others can, I'm sure, are welcome into those respective meetings. But if we, I think we'll need to divide and conquer a little bit here. I have reached out to the GAC chair, Thomas Schneider, because as we all know, the GAC has great interest in this subject. And Elise, our liaison from the GAC, has indicated that we'll be organizing something on that front. To be determined exactly, but I'm sure we'll get something there. And there is a possibility of meeting with the ICANN board, given the sort of daily interaction with ICANN, or not daily, but regular interaction with ICANN staff. You know, I think that's a to be determined if we can fit that one in. But I might ask Bart, do we have any update on that?
Apologies. So not really. It's all these meetings with the board I determined at the board workshop, which is early February. So next call, we should be more clearer on that one. Also reached out to the GNSO Council. That was a request as well. It looks like at least it's discussed. I don't know where they're at, so I'll follow up again on that one. So I'll inform you as soon as I know.
Okay, thank you. Lehman, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Just a quick note that we don't have to have meetings unless we have an agenda. So please make sure that there's something to talk about. And if there isn't, then do cancel the meeting, please.
Words of wisdom. Thank you. Agreed. Okay, any final comments on this subject, on the Copenhagen meeting? I note that Elise says somewhere in the background, the meeting with GAC has already been arranged. Okay, thank you. So seeing nothing further on that, we'll quickly move to 5E, which is on the PTI budget. That is not the CSC's remit, although I would suggest as individuals close to this issue, we should all be considering it and providing input. It's certainly my understanding from all of the constating documents of this exercise that there's supposed to be an SO and AC consultation on the budget. From my perspective, I'm not sure that that has happened yet. Certainly the CSC is not the vehicle for this, but I would suggest we all, it's important to all of us in terms of the PTI budget, and that probably behooves each of us to communicate with our own communities to make sure that they are participating in this exercise, and if they haven't heard anything from ICANN, to push ICANN on this subject. Elise, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yes. I see Lehman's hand was ahead of mine. I don't know if he wanted to talk on this first.
How hard can it be to lower that hand when I'm done? Sorry.
Okay. I'm sorry. Anyway, about the budget, Byron, the public comment closed on the PTI budget in December, and the report is about to be released on the comments we received. We had very positive comments overall, and there are no fundamental changes to the budget that was published in earlier, I think it was November. And the PTI board will be meeting tomorrow and the next day, and they will be considering this budget and whether to adopt it.
So absolutely, Elise, I agree. The reason I'm suggesting or asking what happened is that in the bylaws themselves, and you know, under budgets 22.4, it talks about prior to the approval that ICANN staff needs to consult with the SOs and AC, as well as registry stakeholders, IAB, RIRs, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the bylaws are, I would say, quite prescriptive here, and you know, I could be wrong. It certainly happened before, but just having an open consult and an open comment period, I'm not sure would fulfill, if not the letter, certainly not the spirit of what is actually articulated in the bylaws. And that's why I'm asking folks about what happened in their community.
So, Byron, I believe that the SOs and ACs were consulted in Hyderabad at the ICANN meeting there, and that there were other calls that the finance department had arranged.
Okay, well, having spoken to Xavier on this,
mm-hmm.
who is the CFO of ICANN, he would certainly not seem to be aware of this. So maybe we should take this one offline, but what I would suggest is from what I have seen, and I do sit on the CCNSO Council, and I'm the vice chair of that, and that was not really a topic in Hyderabad, and having communicated and interacted with Xavier, CFO of ICANN, he certainly seemed a little surprised at this particular clause, i.e. hadn't been part of his planning process, that this clause in the bylaw may not have been effectively executed this go-round. Anyway, as I started this with, this is not the remit of this committee, and I don't want to make it the remit of this committee, but since those of us on this committee are clearly interested in this subject, I'm going to leave it as it behooves us to pay attention to the bylaws around this very issue. If not us, who else is going to do it? As individuals, not as a committee. And with that, I'm going to go to number six, which is the next meetings. And I do, before I get to that, I just want to say thank you to our American colleagues here. I know this is a holiday for you, so I appreciate the fact that you're here. I'll also make note that it happens to many of the rest of us around the world who attend ICANN meetings on our various national holidays. So we certainly feel your pain, having done it many times myself. That said, the reason I put number six on is I think it would be important that we get a calendar out that respects as many holidays as need to be respected, and ICANN meetings, et cetera, and have asked that, Rhea, we get a calendar going for the rest of the year so we're not doing it day by day. Thank you very much. And I am going to suggest that we deal with this. And nail down for the year's dates in Copenhagen.
I did draft a schedule for 2017. The next call for February, I did put a note in there that February 12th falls on Sunday, so PCI's report won't be delivered until February 13th, the Monday. Is 2 days sufficient to review the piece for Wednesday's CSE call, which is February 15th.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, and just to be clear, I didn't mean the Copenhagen meeting. I meant the February meeting.
Okay. Oh, I thought you were talking about Copenhagen, because I'm not sure that I'll have to look into the February meeting. Copenhagen I was looking into for delivering it earlier, February.
We're talking about two different things.
Thank you.
So in the subject that you just brought up, Elise, I was talking about Copenhagen. In terms of agreeing to a schedule for the year, we should discuss it in the February meeting, not wait till the Copenhagen meeting, which is, I said Copenhagen originally there. I meant the February meeting.
Okay, great. Sorry, I misinterpreted what you were saying.
Not so. What I am saying, to be clear, is we are not going to determine this schedule right now, since it's a draft and people are probably just reviewing it. But we will nail down the year's schedule at our next meeting in February based on this draft that Rhea's put forward. That said, we do have one question in front of us, which is, if the PTI report is made available on Monday, February 13th, are we comfortable having our CSC meeting on February 15th, 2 days later? That's the only question I want to address regarding scheduling right now. Is there any objection to that? Okay, I'm not seeing any objections, so let's move forward with that. We will get the CSC report on the 13th. Let's try to make it early rather than late, and we will carry on with the CSC meeting on the 15th.
I do have one question. Starting at the February call, can we extend the call to an hour and a half to allow for more time for these meetings? Because right now they're in our calendars for an hour each month, but I can extend it to an hour and a half.
Yes, please do that, and if we don't need it, we don't need it.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. Apologies for keeping you here too long. Clearly that was an overly ambitious agenda, but we've got a lot to get to, particularly in the lead up to our face-to-face. So I appreciate your tolerance vis-a-vis time. Thanks very much, everybody. I'm sure there'll be emails in the interim, but we'll speak to you mid-February next. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.